JC2S, Part 1.
Number 13B.
All right, so I just wanted to mention that I'll continue to say to mark the text, for example, mind is black or spirit is orange or soul is yellow, principle is purple, life is brown, truth is blue, love is green, and so forth, only because we have set that up in class as a color code. But I know that many of you may have your own coloring system and unfortunately have to do that little bit of retranslating when I'm speaking. It makes it difficult because this certainly isn't in any holy arrangement of colors, is it? No. Some people like to do it according to the rainbow, or according to the color spectrum of the prism of colors that come out of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Sometimes they like to go in that order. So, yes, there's no holy order. It's just what we're using, but I would like to continue to speak that way just for the purpose of what we've been working with. Now, all right, so we see that point, I think, now on the language of a spirit. It has a spiritual meaning. So we know, therefore, that the common language, as Mrs. Eddy is inferring here then, is that ordinary language has a material meaning, a two-valued meaning. That's the opposite of spirit and mind. That it has a material meaning, meaning it's based on the two-valued logic set up by Aristotle, that good is real and evil is real, along those lines. So therefore, this two-valued meaning, based on the two-valued logic of materialism, is, of course, we know, still being perpetuated through terms and words and symbols today. And she says that common language can lead to confused concepts regarding God and God's distinction from humanity, because she says we've always got to keep remembering that God is in distinction from humanity, that the pure language of spirit is something totally different than the language, the ordinary language. And she says, and now you don't know that and you remember that, and we know she lived, she taught through example, that how she spent hours, days maybe, over just the right word to put into the textbook. She wasn't flippant about the choice of words, was she? They came through revelation, and they are absolutely exact. This is why we marvel at how she was such a scientist, and one could also say an artist, in putting together, through revelation, divine reasoning and demonstration, this textbook. We could call her the greatest artist and the greatest scientist, both, that ever lived. She really has a way with words. Even in her own human life, we know her work with poetry was incredible. So having that flair for the language, she saw when coming from the divine mind that language then from the spiritual standpoint really had to be exact, even if from the human standpoint writing poems teaches one how to speak correctly and exactly. How much more important, she's saying, is it from the spiritual standpoint? Because now we're talking about God and the language of spirit, and that just cannot be adulterated in any way. Hence the difficulty. Now, under this tone of spirit is mind, I wanted to bring up two points. First of all, that we always are clear. She keeps talking here about now the language of spirit, and then she talks about terms and words and symbols. So she's pointing up, and Max pointed up to us last summer in the summer school, that we want to be clear at the difference between a language and terminology. He showed us, therefore, that We know then that a language is always that which is speaking the pure tones of a subject, and it's the terminology that is used, the terms that are used in which we learn the language. So the terms can change according to the way we learn a language. Terminology is always evolving, carrying on. The symbols change, but the meaning never really changes. So we see here that the language of spirit is really a language of tonality. It's a tonality language. Therefore, it differs in meaning from the language of the common language, because that's a conceptual language, we could say. It's a language with limited meaning. So we know that a conceptual language defines concepts. It limits concepts to certain meanings. Whereas, as Max brought out last summer, that our new language of spirit is much more a tonality language, which is a much more a holistic language, which is bringing out the whole. It's not defining as much as it's much more bringing out no limitations. The realm of unfathomable mind is expressed through this language. So he showed that the new language of spirit is a tonality language of the whole, always referring to the whole. You know how Mrs. Eddy says that these are synonymous terms, meaning they always refer to the whole, always to God. They always are bringing out that holistic meaning. So they bring out that holistic meaning through the method of science, through the synonymy principle, by reducing that whole and analyzing it to its basic constituents, to its parts, yet still remaining the whole. So the whole God is always there because of the synonymy principle, because mind represents the whole of God in its infinite blending that cannot be divided. But it also represents the whole, infinitely individualized, infinitely analyzed to a specific aspect of the whole. So we see then that this is quite a language, this new language of spirit, because it is holistic. And by using the synonymy principle, that the whole tones are brought out through the method of analyzing that whole into its basic constituents. So therefore, the synonymous terms are that accentuation of the infinite individuality of God as its infinite individualities, yet still remaining the infinite individuality. So it's a big, big language. I mean, as we see now, it speaks the tone language, speaks the whole of God, but that whole of God is an amorphous whole. So that language had to be through the method of science, which I just said is the synonymy principle. The synonymy principle then is at once the principle for that which always refers to the whole, always refers to God, and at once brings out different aspects of God, yet still remains to God. We've learned that in class one, which is the meaning of synonymous. Synonymous means it refers to the whole, and it refers to different aspects of the whole. So this is this language of spirit. It's always doing that. It's always referring to the whole, but different aspects of the whole. But always the whole. So what the language is doing in its blending together, like in the model of being, which speaks the language of spirit. There, maybe we put the model of being on. We know then that this model of being is the new language. It's the purest form we have of the language of spirit. It's the new tongue. It's the meta language. Therefore, altogether, this is the language of the capitalized terms, the seven, the four, and the four. Always speaking a tonality language. always speaking the whole. They're in a gestalt. That whole model of being, when seen from the whole, is the whole infinite principle which cannot be divided into its parts. So that whole model of being is giving off a tone, a language, a tone, that all the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science and Christian science, blended with the word Christ, Christianity and science, and then with the synonymous terms, that it, that blending then gives us what is called the infinite principle, the whole, that cannot be divided. That's a tone. Now, to get a hold of that whole, as we've just said here, I'm reiterating just because we've got the model of being up there. Now, to get a hold of that infinite principle, Mrs. Eddy then, the method of genius through revelation, as we've just discussed, used the synonymy principle then. She took that whole and reduced it down into the language of the capitalized terms. So then that language of the capitalized terms then at once always refers to the whole. The level of science itself always refers to the whole. Divine science always refers to the whole. Absolute Christian science always refers to the whole. Christian science always refers to the whole. The word Christ, Christianity, and science, they all refer to the whole. The synonyms, synonymous terms all refer to the whole. That satisfies the point that they're freely interchangeable in a synonymy principle because they all refer to the whole. And yet, they differ. The next leg of the synonymy principle, insofar as they analyze the different aspects, as we've seen now, the infinite individualities of the whole, yet still remaining the whole. Wonderful. So this then is... So in a new language, this language of spirit, therefore, is we can see that these capitalized terms at once speak both the language of the whole, when they're blended together in the seven, the four, and the four. So they're not only the new language, but they're also the new terminology. See, so they're the new language in the fact that they speak the tonality language of the whole in tones, but they're also the new terminology. They're the way in which we learn the language of tonality. Did I make myself clear? So the capitalized terms are at once both the new language of spirit, which is only a language of tonality. And the capitalized terms are also the new terminology, the way we learn the new language. And we know then that this language of spirit, therefore, demands a new terminology because it is a language of holistic, dimensional, structural, teleological language of being. Therefore, it's a language which where the whole demands a scientific analysis of the whole. And so, therefore, it demands a scientific terminology because that's a scientific analysis. The synonymy principle is a method of science, isn't it? That's the same method they use in the world, where a subject, a whole field of information or data or whatever we have, is reduced down to its basic constituents through the process of analysis into its basic constituents. And yes, it isn't left in its basic constituents. It's brought together again in the synthesis process. So the method of science is always analysis and synthesis. That whole information is analyzed into its parts, and then brought back again to this body of information. So the synonymy principle is a scientific method of reducing the whole, analyzing it to its basic constituents, and yet bringing it back again through its synthesis process to the whole. So because the synonymy principle is a scientific method of analyzing the whole, then this language of spirit needs scientific terminology because to analyze the whole. So that's why we have such terms as holism, dimensionalism, structuralism, system, cybernetics. All this language, therefore, is a scientific terminology to explain through the Tsunami principle the language of the whole, which is just a tone. So we see that the goal is always to go through science and past science into being itself. So it is at this age that the language that we speak is a language of terminology in words, which we have to speak in order to grasp the whole. So that terminology is necessary today to get a hold of the new language, which is just tonality. So the language of terms and terminology in the Bible and in the textbook, that language is in symbols and terms. That we know in the Bible that the terminology in the Bible uses so many natural symbols, so many natural terms, that it takes 3,000 pages to get across the tonality of the Bible. You see, the terminology in there is the symbols are quite a distance from reality, and it takes quite a bit of terminology to get across the tone of the language of spirit. In the textbook already, the terms become more and more abstract. It only takes about 300 pages to get across the tonality of the language of spirit. Here on the model of being, it takes one page of new terminology, just the language of the capitalized terms, to get across the tonality of the language of spirit. But there comes a time, we know, by evolving through the thousand-year periods, that we leave the terminology for the pure language, for tonality. And that's that 8,000-year period, where we go through these books and their terminology to get a hold of the tonality of being, and out of the books into the eighth day, which is just being, which is just a language of awareness, where the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one. And one just goes out from tonality, from being those tones. We are those tones in operation. It's where the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one. So in order to learn the structure of reality, it has been through symbols or terms or terminology, has been teaching us the structure of reality. And finally, through those symbols and terms and language, we have caught hold of the language of spirit till we finally are the language of spirit in operation. So the goal is that we are the language of spirit in operation. That's the goal. That we just are that tonality language. And that cannot be written. That's an unlimited language. We can't put into a language, define it so much to put it into books. The books would fill libraries of concerning the experience of the 8,000-year period and onward. It's not under the word. The first 7,000-year periods are under the word is the word. The word is Christ. The word is Christianity. The word is science as we know. The books, the revealed texts, the one book of beginning with the Bible into the textbook, into the model of being. But there comes a time, as it says, that man needn't teach man. I think it's that whole sense that the books, the words, the language doesn't need to bring out the structure of language, doesn't have to bring out our oneness with the language of spirit. It does it, and therefore we finally arrive at the goal where we are that language of spirit in operation, and that's the goal. So this new terminology of the language of spirit, as given in the Bible, in the textbook, in the model of being, and as the symbols become more and more abstract, the terminology becomes more and more exact. Finally, we leave the terminology for the language itself, and then we are that language. Our life is that language. of which Jesus shows us when we'll talk about it when we get a little bit more into spirit tone. But we'll see that when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see behind Jesus' life the wonderful laws of interdependence, don't we? In Matthew, we're given, as shown on the model of being, Jesus' life through the word vertical, of how that one life, through the laws of life, truth, and love, impel his life experience as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So Matthew shows that Jesus was life, was living the tonality of the language experience. His life was speaking the language. Because behind his life experience in Matthew, we hear the language of the word vertical, of that language of spirit, of that terminology. But his life was living the language of the word vertical. And when analyzed, we see it in Mark. And then his life was the living example of the Christ vertical. What he was a living example of the language of spirit. And that is shown in Mark through showing how the Christ of truth, which is truth, life, and love, impelled his principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind experience, showing him to be the living language of God. And then Luke shows that he was the language of spirit in operation by analyzing Jesus' language of life into the Christianity vertical of how the one life, which is life and love, is behind the principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love experience. And then John shows us that Jesus' life was a living language of spirit by showing us how the science of vertical, how that divine principle, love, truth, and love, especially that science is Christian Science order of principle, soul, life, spirit, truth, mind, and love, a principle, was the living, that Jesus was that living language of the science vertical and science order. So you see, Jesus was a prototype. He was at work in divine science. He was showing that the ultimate goal is that our lives are that tonality, language, and expression. That's really what the apocalypse finally shows us, doesn't it? It says, ye are the city. You are that language and expression. So what a Christ that Mrs. Eddy has brought to us in this chapter, where she brings then this new language of God, the capitalized terms. That's those new constituents that were revealed to her, which retranslate out the false constituents into the new constituents. That's the point of this chapter. And this new language of spirit is the Christ. It's that where the capitalized terms are at once the tonality language and the terminology from which we then have the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness can become one with. So we see why we need to go over this language of spirit, concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building, so that that language of spirit, which is speaking the structure of reality, becomes the structure of our consciousness, so that we can be as Jesus, this living language. So we see then that importance. Now, the other important point that's brought out here in this spirit is mind tone, is that in as far as the capitalized terms are at once the new language, which is just the pure tonality language for the whole, and the new terminology to learn the language of spirit, therefore that new terminology must stay pure, it says here. And this is, I see, a big point. I think just as big as the point I wanted to bring out of the sensual reasoning, that we cannot reason anymore out from sense testimony, that we have to be born again, reason out from divine science, from our divine origin, from the pure language of God. I think just as important as getting our basis of reasoning correct, always from mind, from spirit, from soul, from principle, from life, from truth, from love, that it shows here that our terminology that we use must always be born from above, born with a higher meaning. Therefore, when we see that it takes that terminology is changing in the world, and that we must speak in the language of the world, such as Dorley says to us, he says, we have got to demonstrate a terminology which the world will understand. If we don't, we shall fail. Let's be citizens of the world. He says, we are stupid if we insist that people must have science in the way we express it in our terminology, which we like. We must use the idiom of the world. Now here, I see a big danger and a bit already at work. Now, by that, there are big points given to us here in this point of spirit as mind. Yes, the language and terminology evolves. Yes, he says we would be stupid to insist that the world learns our language, that we must evolve with the terminology. But, as Mrs. Eddy admonishes us here, be very, very careful with the terms. Realize that the world means something totally different with terms than we mean with terms. So if she says you're going to be talking about God and with the new terminology, she says make sure that by that the world is sure that the way we use that term is totally different than the way the world uses it. She says, make sure then that it's not going to lead to confusion about the conceptions of deity in its distinction from humanity. And I can see that there is a possibility that this confusion can come in. Now, if we go in and use these big words today like cybernetics and information theory and rhea modes and holism and calculus and matrices and dimensionalism and evolution through fluctuations. We don't mean by those terms what the world means by cybernetics or what the world means by information theory or what the world means by evolution through fluctuations or what the world means by dimensionalism or holism or calculus or matrix. That what Christian Science means by those terms is something totally different. And let's not make the mistake of bringing confusion, because it's through the language that any subject gets adulterated. And our language can defeat us rather than to serve a purpose for us.